We are on number 249. Sir, I began once, my father...
You have no father, Master replied, interrupting what I had been about to say.
I'm sorry, sir. It's interesting you said, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, sir. I said, I meant my earthly father.
That's better, he replied.
God alone is your true father.
I rarely heard him offer others this correction. In fact, it may have been the only time I heard him give it at all. I'd never really tuned into that part of it before. I'd heard Swami say this, but I didn't really realize it was a unique instruction. Some people may think those words were too strong, but often he had a particular, if hidden, reason for what he said. Perhaps he sensed my father's opposition, which later became apparent, to my choice of a spiritual way of life. It was an interesting feature of my first 2 years as a disciple that every time I tried in meditation to visualize my guru, my earthly father appeared first in my mind. Only by sustained effort was I able to substitute for that image the features of my guru. Very interesting, especially considering how Swami writes in The Path and says in other places that he had an essential lack of attunement with his father. He writes about how, as a young child, his father was interested in the how of things, and he, instinctively, the philosopher, was always interested in the why, and he tells in The Path about his father taking him under the house to show him how the doorbell worked, and how completely uninterested he was, and how he tried, you know, just to, because it meant so much to his father, to try to be interested in the things that his father was. And he also writes how what a disappointment it was for his father that his own firstborn son was so out of sync with him. His third son actually ended up being very much, went into the same profession and was very much more in tune with his father, Ray. But Swami also talks about how, he says it in The Path, but he talks about it more in another place or two, about how the fact that the world that he lived in was so different from the world his father lived in, and how as a young child that discrepancy weighed on him, because there would be a natural inclination to think that your father would know more about life and how to get along, which in a certain sense he did in the world that he was living in. And how when Swami was 9 and had that very high fever and delirium, and after that he wasn't as willing to let his own consciousness expand even into the light, Swami talked about how by the age of 9 he realized how out of sync he was with the world around him, and especially with his father and his father's world, and that really began to concern him. Prior to that time, he just lived in his own world, and so it wasn't only that he had that delirium, which, as he said, made him concerned about any altered states of consciousness, but also he was becoming anxious about his inability to fit into the world, and he was going to make some effort to try. So there's this sort of underlying... what would you say? Anxiety about not belonging that was characteristic of Swami's young life. So his commenting here that Master had some particular purpose, not that Swamiji would ever have allowed his father to stop him, but he does comment, you know, one thinks of Swamiji as being so strong and self-directed. At the same time, he was from a different era and grew up at a time when children didn't so readily defy their parents, and